The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. In the event you're just tuning in, Chris Gasper out again today. He was continuing to enjoy some time off to see some family for the holiday out in Los Angeles. So you got yours truly here, Big Jim Murray, along with Mike Sarge Riley, who's been chiming in, giving you the Sports Hub headlines as well. Here until 2 o'clock when I believe it's Christian Arcand who's going to be coming in next.
That's affirmative, yeah.
I looked at the schedule in days, so I just knew that I needed to be here at the time that they normally want me here.
And you're here tomorrow for the Patriots.
Down at Splitsville,
okay.
As we do, Beadle and I, for the Patriots postgame after Patriots wrap up with, I believe, what will be a win, although a tough-fought win against the New York Jets tomorrow afternoon as they come off the bye. As promised, though, I do want to squeeze in some more of these leftover Celtics calls as we just wrapped up the Sports Hub Celtics show here. They handled their business last night against the lowly Atlanta Hawks. 114-96 was the final. Hopefully they can start stacking some wins. And I sat here last week at this time saying, okay, they beat the Raptors. We're on our way going to this game tonight against the Utah Jazz. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at, heavy minutes for Brad Wanamaker at the end of this, playing along with Kyrie Irving. And Brad Stevens, rightfully at that point, benches everybody save for Kyrie Irving. And it's like, I want a refund. What the hell's going on with this team? And then they end up losing to Charlotte. And then they end up getting pantsed by a wretched Knicks team. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? So, okay. Good that they won last night. Not going to take a lot out of it. Just hopefully they can start stacking some wins. They're right back at it tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Charlie in Boston, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hi, Charlie.
Jim, this is what I'm thinking. I don't think Kyrie's a superstar. Quick couple points, hear me out. I don't think Kyrie's a superstar. I think, what do you think about that? Do you think I don't think he's that game changer. Also, do you think they would ever trade Gordon Hayward in some kind of a package deal or something? Do you think they have the balls to pull that trigger? Also, my last point is, you're a little less pleasant since you've been working for now 2 years or whatnot. On the Saturdays, you used to be like, hey, how you doing, little pleasantries? Felger's rubbing off on you. So I'm thinking about nose plucking your hair pieces out of your eyeballs. I'm dead serious. I'm going to headbutt my mother to make sure she gets the picture to send the message through you. I don't know.
All right, Charlie. Fair
I think enough. He's Charlie's got too much time in his hands.
Yeah. It doesn't matter even if I was here with this job. As you go through life and life wears you down and you deal with other human beings, you'll get more salty. That's life. Mm-hmm. His first couple of things. Yes, I think Kyrie Irving is a superstar based on the fact that he hit one of the biggest shots in finals NBA Finals history. He's a true closer. Yes, a superstar. Two, would Danny Ainge ever have the balls to move Gordon Hayward? Why am I even entertaining these? But either way, this is the job. I'll do it. Yes, because he's Danny Ainge. He'll do anything. Trader Danny. Pew, pew, pew. But I don't think that he ultimately would, because it would send a terrible precedent, even if Gordon Hayward never ends up playing himself back into, pre-injury Gordon Hayward. Because he was their marquee free agent. And what, they move on from him after a year? Because I think it would send such a bad precedent throughout the league. He was your marquee free agent. He's Brad Stevens' binky. Went and picked him up at Logan with the Prius. You got to give this guy time here. He's not going to be where he was before the injury. It took Paul George about a year to look like Paul George of the past. So, no, he's not going to trade him. Why the hell, really? I'm sitting here now, why did I even entertain that a-hole's question? Peter in New Hampshire, as we were talking about trading for Anthony Davis earlier today. Go ahead, Peter. Hello, Peter.
Oh, sorry, guys. I was distracted by the fact that Sarge sucks on the radio.
Oh, gosh. That's so stupid.
It's an assault of these, Sarge. The people want to get these calls in to assault you. Mike in Wakefield is another one on Gordon Hayward. Hello, Mike.
Big Jim. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Michael Buffer, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
So, listen, I think last year, just being a sensible fan, they got so far without him. You know, it's reasonable to think that Gordon Hayward's just kind of throwing a kink into the whole rhythm right now of the offense, and none of them are getting back on defense. There's way too much diva work going on right there. But, I mean, I don't want to sound like one of those, but I'm going to say it anyways. Hayward, Brown, and Rozier for a possible Anthony Davis trade. I think there's enough return right there for the Pelicans that's something that they might actually think about doing. And, Sarge, you don't suck on the radio, dude. Oh. You don't. You can stop listening to all these people. Yap and blow, kid. Bam, you've been Sarge blammed.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
Did he squeeze in at the end there?
No. He tried to, but I talked over him.
All right.
But it was pretty funny, though.
So, Sarge, did the calls, do they bother you?
No. I hope people know that. Like, you're giving me free publicity. And I see John in Vegas on the line already. I see John in the car on the line with his burner phone. I see John in the car with another burner phone. So
they
he's
could
trying
be
to get
different Johns.
Nah, it's the same one.
He's going for the Sarge cycle.
He's already done it. And it's actually hysterical. It doesn't bother me.
There definitely are different Johns, but
all right,
I promise you that.
All right.
Well, I'm going to try this John in the car.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to,
Well, Celtics rotation versus Mavs tonight. Let's see. Is that what you actually want to talk about, John? Hello.
Hi. Thank you guys for taking my call. I do actually want to talk about the Celtics rotation against the Mavs. I'm really interested in what you said earlier. I do think Aaron Baines is our best defensive option against these traditional athletic centers, back to the basket, lob catching type guys. But once you get past Baines and Horford on the bench, you have the choice to bring in Tice or Williams. I'd really like to see like our own athletic, lob catching, shot blocking, traditional center go up against these DeAndre Jordans like you got tonight, and see what he's capable of. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks, John. See, a real John there, and I'm with him. Robert Williams has looked okay, and they're going to have to, you know, get him more minutes here, especially if Horford ends up not playing tonight with this knee thing. But in terms of the bigs, yeah, I want to see Baines in the starting five tonight because of DeAndre Jordan. I'm with him on that. Sarge, what is it? What do you think that rubs why have you irked some of these people or this John in Las Vegas? What has been the impetus behind all of
this? It was that whole week there I was with Fred.
Right,
you know, and
You did have a bit of a meltdown, but I've been there too. Hey.
Well, yeah, and what people don't know, there was some personal stuff that was going on in my life, and it just kind of affected me on the air, and the callers got the best out of it. So, of course, Tetra and Rich enable it, and that's just how it is. And, again, it doesn't bother me. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes you have those days. I remember during a couple of years back, an ill-timed joke did not go over at a guy that went at me and poking fun at tattoos or whatever, and I took it a little too personally, and did I have egg on my face.
Yeah.
But sometimes it happens. Water off a duck's back, Sarge. That's my best recommendation to
you. I appreciate
it, Jim. What are you going to do?
But in the end, I mean,
you can't please everybody.
You can't please everyone, but like, okay, I think everyone just wants their 10 seconds of fame. They just want to be part of the joke and all that. So it's free pub, and I guess we know who the mature ones are.
Well, admittedly, and I've tweeted this too, I do think that some of the prank calls that this John Vegas have done are hysterical.
The Hannity one was great.
The one to Sean Hannity, it hit all the notes. It really did.
Francesa was good.
The Francesa one was good. So, you know, I do like a good prank call and the phony phone calls. Yeah. I find them very entertaining.
The guy's got he's got a lot of time in his hands, though, I can tell.
Well, you know, hey, some people's hobbies.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fine.
Different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah, it's funny.
It does seem like you have riled the people up, though, because, boy, the phone lines are filling up. I can't promise that I'll actually take these calls because this is my time, and I've been off for a couple of days, and I have things to say, especially if it pertains to the NFL games on Thursday. But we'll get to that coming up next. Maybe we'll take some of the calls. Maybe we won't. Maybe, I understand that you want to try to go for that Sarge cycle there, John, in Vegas. Maybe you get it, maybe
hey,
you don't.
I'm here today. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. Come back. I have some leftover thoughts from Thanksgiving, those three games, and certain players that stood out to me and why it frustrated me to watch some of these guys like Khalil Mack, like Amari Cooper, and like Eli Apple, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, and how it pertains to the Patriots as they get ready for tomorrow's game against the Jets. We'll do that next here on the Gasperless Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dallas spreads them out a bit. They fake the run. The pass is caught. Cooper off to the races for the touchdown. Prescott throws over the middle. Pass is caught by Cooper. Breaks loose. No flags on the field. Cooper inside the 10. Touchdown.
So that's Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper, who went off. And the Cowboys went over the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving, making big catches on third down time and again. Finished with two long scores, one for 40, one for 90. Finished with 180 yards on eight catches. He was awesome in that game, and it was fun to watch. And I was a fan of his when he was with the Oakland Raiders, and then he kind of fell off a cliff, especially when the in-over-his-head numbnuts John Gruden got there. But it was fun to watch, but also frustrating. And I wanted to go back to this, open up the show earlier today talking about this. Amari Cooper, dominant game changer on Thursday. Khalil Mack has been a dominant game changer for the Chicago Bears. Not so much, admittedly, the first game of the day against the Detroit Lions, but you always feel his presence. And he had a pressure on Matt Stafford in that game, but only one tackle if you look at the stat sheet. But between those two and also Eli Apple, who contributed in the Saints' win, and their defense has gotten better since they made the deal for him, Mack, Cooper, Apple, those three players, they were all traded to those respective teams, the Bears, the Cowboys, the Saints, and all three of those teams, they've gotten better. And while I enjoyed the slate of games on Thursday, it also frustrated the hell out of me, because my bigger overall point in watching the games on Thanksgiving is that I was pissed off all over again about the lack of action by the New England Patriots at the trade deadline about a month ago. And, yeah, they made a deal in September to get Josh Gordon, and that felt necessary at the time, considering the lack of depth at wide receiver. But the team was still thin. They needed just a little bit of help defensively at linebacker. It's been a mash unit at running back. They could use another wide receiver. They needed more help. And they knew that because they were in on guys at the trade deadline. Golden Tate, who was with the Lions, who I think would be a great fit here. He ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles. They swung and missed because that team's a dumpster fire. But it was only a third-round pick. That's all that cost for Golden Tate. And then the Patriots were reportedly in on Demaryius Thomas, who I'm no fan of. Think he's soft as puppy poo, the Denver Broncos. But he ends up going for just a fourth-rounder to the Houston Texans, who've been one of the hotter teams in the league. And the Patriots did nothing. Nothing. Ugh. And so when you have Tom Brady sit out practice yesterday with illness, I hope it's more illness than it is the knee, you should be trying to surround him with as much talent as possible here to take advantage of what's left in the Tom Brady window. And they did nothing. I was mad about it then. I was mad about it on Thanksgiving because they make no additions, and it felt negligent. It did then. It feels even more so now because Mack and Cooper and Eli Apple, they've all helped their teams. And the first two, certainly more than the last. And I know the argument has been, regionally, nationally, especially for Amari Cooper, who gives up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper? What an idiot. Do you think Jerry Jones regrets that today? Do you think Jones regrets that today? Because now, Dallas has won three straight. They're going to win the NFC East because the rest of that division is a mess. The Eagles and Giants, dumpster fires. The Redskins don't have a quarterback now. They're stuck with Colt McCoy. They stink. Dallas, today, while tied with the Redskins, have the tiebreaker. They lead the division. They're going to win the division. Their defense has also improved, too. But Cooper? Cooper's opened up that passing game. Dak Prescott looks like Dak Prescott of a couple of years ago. And Ezekiel Elliott, running backs don't matter, Jim, has been running wild in these last three wins, too. Dallas looks pretty damn good. I can guarantee you, Jerry Jones does not regret that trade right now, and nor should he. And the same with the Khalil Mack deal. Yeah, that was a lot to pay for Khalil Mack, but I still think that John Gruden was an idiot to make that deal. You can't convince me that those were bad deals. You can't. Like, I'm a brick wall when it comes to that thing, because I think you have to live in the now. I live in the now in my life, but especially as a sports fan. Like, you gotta make the bold trade. If you have a lot of talent, but you're lacking in a couple of areas, you've got to make that deal. You do have to gamble the future. And in life, too, like, I don't know, you're feeling it, like you got to get away for a little bit. Yeah, cash in that 401k, man. Like, take that trip. Go to Aruba. Get the hell out of here. Take a breather. Enjoy life. Tomorrow's promised to nobody, especially in the NFL, especially as a sports fan. Like, I get it. Like, it's just like with Maz and how dug in he is on Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you'll never convince him that the Patriots were wrong for trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you couldn't move on. To me, you couldn't move on from Tom Brady. I would have liked a better return for Jimmy Garoppolo, but no, it's about the now, not the future. Tomorrow's promised to nobody in the NFL or in life. Make those deals. The Bears won, the Cowboys won, and now they're actually winning since they've made those deals. It frustrated the hell out of me. It felt negligent at the time. The Patriots did nothing, and I think it was more evident than ever on Thanksgiving with the performances, specifically of Cooper, Apple II. And you want to yell, well, look at Julio Jones. He had like a buck 50. Did he get in the end zone? No. And Eli Apple had 10 tackles, recovered a fumble. He's been better there than he ever was for the New York Giants. It was a good deal for the Saints, and the Saints look like an absolute juggernaut right now. So it frustrated me that the Patriots did nothing then, and it was even more frustrating on Thanksgiving as they head into this game against the New York Jets tomorrow. A game that I think is going to feel like a bit of a tractor pull, and I'm just basing that on how this team has played on the road so far this year. I would like for this team coming off the bye to have a dominant four quarters tomorrow. And, you know, it would be nice to see this team, you know, play well in all three areas, especially special teams, which has also been a mess throughout the whole season. So I hope for that. Is that what we're going to get? I doubt it. I mean, this Jets team, I think they're better served starting Josh McCown tomorrow because Sam Darnold's out. McCown shredded this team the first game that they met last year, threw for like 350, had a couple of touchdowns. Yes, two picks too. But remember, that was the Austin Seferian Jenkins game where they might have got hosed on a call, and that could have been a different outcome if that call goes the Jets' way, I think. And their couple of wins so far have come at home. They had a shootout with the Colts, of all things, earlier this year. They're coming off a bye as well. Their defense is excellent on third down. And based on how the Patriots looked against the Tennessee Titans, I think this is going to be a bit of a struggle tomorrow. I hope that I'm wrong. I'll feel a hell of a lot better about this team going forward if I'm wrong. And it's a blowout. So you want to weigh in on anything football-related? Pats, Jets, tomorrow, 617-779-0985. Rob Gronkowski, he spoke yesterday at the podium while Brady was not there with the knee and illness and didn't end up speaking to the media in his usual Friday press conference. Gronk did, said he's feeling good, so he'll be back. Frank the Tank, your thoughts on Gronk. Go ahead.
Look, guys, one comment on Gronk and then comments for Sarge. Look, my question is really simple. If he stays healthy and does not get injured at all, plays the rest of the way and plays like he can the Patriots run the table? And Sarge, as far as you're concerned, I've never done this before, so I'm proud to say this will be my first one. You get the Frank the Tank rolling track of the day because I actually think you're a good guy. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Frank. Hopefully he had a wonderful Thanksgiving as well.
Frank's a very nice guy.
He is.
Met him a few times off the air. Good dude.
Makes these great hot peppers, too, that he would occasionally send to me with the oil. Oh, man, they'll light you right up. Nice. Mike in Burlington on the Patriots. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey. Happy holidays to all you guys over there at 98.5.
You too, sir. Come.
Listen, I think they're treating it like an old car. You can only go to the junkyard for used parts so many times before the car breaks down. You brought up a whole bunch of incidents where they could have traded for this guy, that guy, or even letting people go like Chandler and others that could have helped the team tremendously down the road. My bottom line is, you get what you pay for, and they're starting to lose the edge on that because they're not buying new parts, they're buying old parts. And the other thing I think a lot of teams figured out, if you rush up the middle on Brady, he's going to collapse on you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, gentlemen.
Mike, thanks. And with the latter, that's been the blueprint for years. I mean, even go back to that divisional playoff loss to the Jets 8 years ago. You got pressure up the middle. You have the talent to do that. Brady's going to start seeing ghosts, feeling phantom pressure, and he's rattled. And that was, you know, Mike Vrabel, kudos to him. He knew that. And that's how he attacked him with the Titans a couple of weeks back. On the earlier thing, yeah, you know, there's guys that feel like they got away, Chandler Jones being one of them. None more so than Akeem Hicks. So while Khalil Mack was quiet on Thursday, Akeem Hicks for the second straight game was not. That dude's a beast. That's the one that, to me, more than any other player over the last 5 or 6 years that Belichick screwed up on, it's Akeem Hicks. I think if you pumped sodium pentothal, that's truth serum, fancy word for that, fancy term for that. If you pumped truth serum into Bill Belichick and asked him who's the one guy that you wish you put a little bit more effort in to keep a few years back, I truly believe the answer would be Akeem Hicks. He is a game wrecker, and that's another guy too. That contract's paying off for them with Akeem Hicks. I think it's 4 years, $48 million. Seems like a bargain right now for how that guy's playing. 617-779-0985. Couple open lines. Try to squeeze some of you in before we wrap up here. About a half hour from now, Pats, Celtics on the table. Really, anything else that wet your whistle sports wise over the last few days, over the Thanksgiving holiday and break. Manish Mehta, though, of the New York Daily News, covers the New York Jets. I think pissed off some Patriots fans this week with the Weekend at Gronky's back cover, which I found hysterical. He's going to join the show coming up next year, get the Jets' perspective of things as we head into tomorrow's game here on Gasperless Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Services than any other tire dealer. Nobody beats a Town Fair tire deal. Nobody.
This is a public service announcement from 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Think of your family, your friends, and then call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Quit smoking, not just for yourself, but for the ones you love and love you. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You see the New York Daily News color?
I know. I heard there's some like crazy weekend though at my house. It's crazy.
Well, Patriots tight end. Yeah, there he is. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski yesterday talking about the back cover of the New York Daily News. I love his laugh. He has like the Muttley laugh there. One more time with that, Tracy. Yeah. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, Weekend at Gronky's is the back cover of the New York Daily News that Gronk was having some fun with there when he was asked about it. It's where Gronk's corpse was being held up by both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It was an image that went along with a column from my guest here on Gasper Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Manish Mehta, the New York Daily News. Good afternoon, Manish.
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
Very good. Good to speak to you again. So, Gronk can have fun with it, obviously. Many Patriots fans, unsurprisingly, cannot. But do you really think that this is it for Gronk? He's hit a tipping point here when it comes to, you know, all these accumulated injuries.
I do, and that's not to say that he can't be productive in spurts or if Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick use him the right way. I just think the days of having Gronk play 50, 60 snaps week in and week out are over. It's been abundantly clear, at least from where I sit this year, that his body has – it kind of betrayed him in the sense that you can't really rely on him week to week. And I think if you got the Patriots in a quiet moment, that they would admit to you that they can't really rely on him week to week. They don't know what they're going to get out of him. Now, look, was he great in week one against the Texans when he had 7 months off? Yeah, he was awesome. Did he have a couple flashes in week, I believe, six against the Chiefs? Yeah, he did. And he's going to have 3 weeks of rest before tomorrow's game against the Jets. So it would not surprise me if he played, you know, reasonably well. I just think that, you know, you don't know what you're going to get next week against Minnesota and the week after that and the week after that. And I think, you know, my point was that, you know, those days of Gronk dominating week in and week out are over. And, it's kind of sad because he's not even 30 years old yet. But, you know, ultimately, I think he's a Hall of Fame player, deservedly so. But, you know, just being feared, I think, no longer exists from a week-to-week basis. Now, I don't think that necessarily applies to the Jets because, again, he's going to have nearly a month off to rest and rehab.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, like I still care about this team probably a bit too much, and I should be, more objective when I talk about them, but I can't be. But I'm with you on this, and I think that you got unfairly painted as a troll and just, you know, you're trying to appease Jets fans. Because I'll tell you, in the last couple of weeks, especially after he traveled to Nashville and doesn't play in that game against the Titans a couple of weeks ago, I've reached apathy with him. Like, I'm just over it. Like, he's had too many hits, and with that many back injuries, I think he could be one hit away from, unfortunately, eating the rest of his meals through a straw for the rest of his life. So I can understand that he's wanted to dial it back, but I don't care at this point anymore. He's nothing more than a luxury. It'd be nice to have him out there, but I just think he's had, you know, one too many hits. I don't think that they're trying to hold back Gronk so they can save him for later in the season.
Hey, it's an interesting strategy. I don't know what's going to happen moving forward, but if you look at what the Chargers have done with Antonio Gates over the past 4 or 5 years even, he's been relegated to a red zone, short yardage area type of player and still been a very productive player. I just, you know, don't know if the Patriots are going to take that tack with Gronk. And I think if you look at this bigger picture, he's got a $12 million cap hit next year, the final year of his contract. He will not be a Patriot in 2019 unless he plays for peanuts. And he has shown, at least from what's been reported up there and nationally, that he's not really willing to take a pay cut. You know, they even added a few million dollars in incentives this year. And there was a report out this offseason that the WWE offered him a deal very similar to what they offered Ronda Rousey, which was about $5 million, or about half of what he's making with the Patriots. And he said, thanks, but no thanks. So I don't think he's a guy who's going to take a hometown discount or play for peanuts next year, rework his contract. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The Patriots are not going to say it publicly. Clearly, Bill Belichick will never say it publicly, but he tried to trade him this offseason to the Lions. And that should speak volumes to every Patriot fan about what their head coach thinks that this player has left for him moving forward. I just think it's over after 2018. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what they can get out of him for the remainder of this season, this regular season, and, of course, the playoffs.
Talking to Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, covers the Jets for them. So the Jets, big underdogs in this one tomorrow, also coming off a bye, though. And I also think they're better served with Josh McCown, a quarterback, considering how he kind of carved up the Pats in that first game last year. How can they pull off an upset tomorrow?
Well, you got to hit Tom Brady, which apparently doesn't happen very often, even at 41 years old, and I know statistically Brady isn't anywhere close to what he was even a year ago. He's outside the top 10 in almost every important offensive quarterback statistic. However, they keep winning, and he does not get hit. 16 sacks, I only think three other quarterbacks have gotten hit fewer times than Brady. So he gets rid of the ball. You know, I feel like it's a broken record with Brady. I say this every year, and I've been saying it every year since, you know, he turned 35, and nothing seems to change. The Jets are going to have to be much better on third down. They've been horrific on third down, something like 25% for the year during their four-game losing streak, something like 15%. That's not going to get it done. They don't score in the first quarter. I know that's something that even Patriots fans are familiar with this year since they've been outscored in the first quarter. But the Jets don't score on their opening drive, 0 for 10 this year. That's inexcusable. They've only scored 2 touchdowns on offense in the first quarter, so they're really behind the eight ball before you blink, and that needs to change. I don't know how that can change, but they've had 2 weeks to prepare. Then again, Bill Belichick has had 2 weeks to prepare for the Jets. I think they need to play near flawless football. I feel like virtually every opponent says that about New England for the past decade or so, but that's really their only chance. And you had mentioned McCown. Statistically, he had a good game as a career, a season high 350-plus yards last year against the Patriots at MetLife Stadium. But if you remember, he threw a key interception before the first half that ultimately led to a game-tying touchdown. And at that point, the Patriots had the momentum, and they took it from there in the second half.
What happened with Sam Darnold? Because the first few weeks looks like it's like, wow, the Jets actually found themselves a quarterback, and then he seemingly turned into a pumpkin. I know he has the foot injury, but his play, you know, took a dramatic drop.
Yeah, I don't think it's surprising. You're going to get an ebb and flow for every rookie quarterback. It was interesting because in the first few weeks of the season, it was highly unusual. They played 3 games in 11 days, which is a daunting proposition for any quarterback, let alone a 21-year-old rookie.
Sure.
And they tried to condense the field for him. He felt much more comfortable in the short to intermediate area. He did not really look to the deep part of the field, and there were some opportunities in those first 3 weeks that he missed just because he wasn't really focused on that part of his game. And then when he tried to look to the open part of the field, the deeper part of the field, I should say, he threw a couple picks, and he said this is a confident player. Even when he was throwing picks at USC, which he threw a lot of last year, he was still a confident player. And I think what has happened to him over the past several weeks that he has played is that some of that confidence has waned because he has made mistakes early in games, and he's just not been as decisive in his reads. And when I say that, I mean that he will hang on to his first read too long, hoping that guy gets open. If that guy does not shake free, by the time he looks to the second read, it's too late because that guy's not open. And then he's got to look to his third read. That really causes clutter for him. So I think for him, what needs to happen when he does return is to be more decisive on the first read. And if the guy's not open, even if he does open up for, a few seconds later, who cares? You know, you just move on and be a little bit more decisive and quicker in your reads. And that's what he needs to do. And he can only do that by playing. So he has not played these last 2 weeks. This foot injury, I was told, was fairly significant when it happened. And ultimately, it has shown, missing at least 3 weeks is a fairly significant foot sprain for him.
Well, as you know, and this is the last thing before I let you go here, he needs a good coach, too. So considering the success that Matt Nagy's already had in turning around the Bears, Doug Peterson, the success he's had with the Eagles, I feel like you can't go wrong plucking from the Andy Reid tree. So I think, to me, Eric Bieniemy, their offensive coordinator, should be the next head coach of the Jets. If not him, then who's going to replace Todd Bowles? Because it feels like he's done.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a change. I do, and I think it'll be an offensive mind. I don't believe it's going to be Eric Bieniemy. I know that's the direct link for a lot of people just because of Andy Reid's success and clearly Matt Nagy's success this year. And everybody's looking for the next Matt Nagy. They're looking for the next Sean McVay. Those guys do not grow on trees. If you look over the last decade or so, there's not many guys like that. Those two guys, maybe Josh McDaniels to throw in there as well. There aren't that many guys like that, but I do know, or I'm fairly confident, that the Jets will indeed go on the offensive side of the ball, which is a departure from what they've done over the last 10 or 15 years. Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini, Herm Edwards, all defensive-minded coaches. That's going to change in January for sure.
All right, Manish Mehta covers the Jets in the NFL for the New York Daily News. Also catch him on ESPN Sports Reporters. Thanks for taking the time, and I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right. You can also follow him on Twitter. And I know a lot of you upset because Weekend at Grunky's Gronk's done. Rah! He's a troll. Follow him on Twitter and chirp at him at MMetaNYDN. We're going to wrap up the show with five questions for not Chris Casper, because, again, Chris off for the holiday, seeing family in L.A., but we got Sarge here. So five questions for Sarge as we wrap up a Gasperless Casper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Casper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four.
All right. Depending on who's here, if Chris isn't, we'll occasionally still do this. Five questions for Chris Casper. Got nothing to do with sports, but Chris ain't here, and Sarge is. So, Sarge, I know you're always quick to want to play along. So,
sure,
we'll do the five questions here with Sarge to wrap up a Gasperless Casper and Murray here this Saturday. All right. As you know, Sarge, Thanksgiving has come and gone. What was your favorite dish that you enjoyed on Thanksgiving?
Oh, besides turkey, the stuffing. Hands down. And my mom is 100% Italian, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So her stuffing is with sausage and spinach in it.
Oh, very nice.
Is this in
the bird or outside?
She did one in the bird and then one also separate stuffing, too.
Very nice. It was
to die for.
Oh, well, yes. All right. Maybe I'll have to get that recipe from Mama Sarge.
I'll hook you up.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little sausage in the stuffing. Very good. Yeah, I, too, am
with
a stuffing
spinach.
Guy.
With spinach.
With the spinach, too. Yeah. All right. And a sautéed spinach as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Question number two, Sarge. If you were in charge of planning a guy's night out, say even a bachelor party, if you will, what's on the agenda?
Probably, as long as they're cool with it, we hit up the casino, do that. I think that's a good night. Maybe get a house something or a hotel near the casino so we can be convenient to that. Otherwise, if you have a golfing crowd, I just played my brother's a couple of years ago. We went to Martha's Vineyard, played golf, and, what happens there stays there, Jim.
I like the golf on a guy's outing and for a bachelor party, too.
Yep.
Play the 18, even if some guys suck, you bring some cigars along. Bring some suds.
Yep.
I'm into that.
Did some grilling, too. It was great.
That's a good plan, Sarge. Question number three. All right. This one's going to get a little more in-depth. If you ended up meeting the girl of your dreams.
Mrs. Sarge?
Mrs. Sarge. But Mrs. Sarge insisted that you give up everything wrestling. You got to get rid of the belt. You can't go to any more SummerSlams or WrestleManias. You can't travel with Jay Stu. You would even have to stop doing the podcast with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, boy.
You had to give up all things wrestling. Would you do it for true love, Sarge?
Well, the traveling stuff I can understand, but the personal items, though, absolutely not. So just move on to the next one, Jim, if that's the case.
What's the most treasured? This is just an offshoot of this question. Don't consider it one of the five.
Fine, yeah.
What's the most precious treasure that you own in terms of wrestling memorabilia?
One of two things. Either my Attitude Era belt, which is signed by Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mick Foley. It will be signed by The Undertaker in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or my WrestleMania 14 chair, March 29th, 98, at the then Fleet Center, featuring Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, and Iron Mike Tyson.
Was that the Pete Rose appearance,
yes,
too?
Yes, you got
that
the tombstone
one?
By
okay.
Kane. Yep.
All
there
right.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Question number four, Sarge. With Black Friday over today, Small Business Saturday, yep. Cyber Monday just a day away right. as well, a couple of days away. Holiday seemingly in full swing, Sarge. Yep. Do you put up a Christmas tree, and if so, when? Is this weekend too early?
Not too early. I will be putting mine up next weekend, though. So I'm going to wait it out. But I do have the lights up outside, and I'll get my wreath this week, too.
Like, people are on it quick.
Did you put yours up yet?
No, we got like a little small thing. We'll put the stockings up. Lost the cat just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
so it's
I'm
kind
very
of a,
sorry.
It's a sad time in the Murray household right now. So yeah. we were debating whether or not we were actually going to do anything Christmas related.
Right.
But the cat would want it. So we're going to put the stuff up. Final question, Sarge. If you could only eat one thing off the Kowloon menu for the rest of your life, what would that one thing be?
Oh, boy. Does a poo-poo platter count?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
I mean, it's
absolutely.
One of the items that you can order on there, and you're kind of cheating the system. You get a plethora of delicious items at Kowloon.
I mean, the Wong father does it right. So a poo-poo platter, the peninsula one, with the beef teriyaki.
That's
hands
a good
down,
call.
Jim.
You know, so
I think you would get that, too.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I would go with, because I was thinking, like, those egg rolls, I think are the finest egg rolls at any Chinese restaurant I've ever eaten at.
Phenomenal.
So I was going to but then again, you get the egg rolls with the peninsula poo-poo platter, and you also get to get the wonton. The wings,
right?
The roast pork.
Oh yeah,
and the and you said the meat, the beef sticks too, the teriyaki.
And don't forget, Jim, extra duck sauce on the
Saugus wings.
Yeah.
All right, Sarge.
Well, good questions.
That was fun. And and again, just a word of advice for you, my friend.
Let's hear it.
With the Sarge sucks calls, if they really do bother you,
they don't.
You're best served to ignore it. You fight it. You get bitchy about it. You end up like the old Howard Stern newsman, Steve Langford. Who sounded like he was going to have a nervous breakdown as he continued to get harassed by Sour Shoes. Now, I'm making a reference that maybe people don't even remember, but if you were a Howard Stern fan like I was, there is a clip. It's maybe my favorite clip in radio history, where Steve Langford, the newsman, was getting inundated with phone calls from Sour Shoes, who I think is the greatest caller in the history of the medium.
Right.
That guy is maybe the most talented person on planet Earth. He's also a certified lunatic. But he harassed Steve Langford for like a month, and the guy almost lost it. So just try to water off a duck's back, as I said, Sarge. Just
love it,
let
Jim.
Just try to let it pass. That's
it's,
all.
It's
That's
free pub.
Yes, free pub as well.
Yeah.
Sarge, thanks. Tracy Clements, who produced the show, thank you so much. We have a Christian Arcand situation coming up next year for the next couple of hours. How was your Thanksgiving, Arcand?
It was great, and I like the Christian Arcand situation as a name for the show.
I can do the production for you, too. It's a Christian Arcand situation.
Sounds like a nuclear meltdown or something like that, you know? 3 Mile Island, the Christian Arcand situation.
Sound the alarms.
Yeah.
What will you be yammering about for the next few hours?
Well, we'll do a little Patriots here, the tiers of the NFL, where the Patriots sort of stand and all of that. We'll do a little Jets pregame, although I feel like there's not a whole lot of juice there, and I got some Celtics and Bruins thoughts as well, and some various Thanksgiving odds and ends to get to, so we'll have all that for the next 2 hours.
Oh, excellent. Christian Arcand coming up next. You want to join him? 617-779-0985. You can catch me tomorrow if you're around Foxborough or Gillette Stadium. Come join Beadle and I in the Patriots post game at Splitsville. Otherwise, talk to you Monday at 2 with Felger and Mess. Goodbye.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.